Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Sean Boltz is back on the Green Lines Podcast today, and I'm so excited about his book and what we're going to talk about. I just finished an interview with him. I'm so excited. I've had several flows up and down my spine called goosebumps, just listening to him talk about his book, Encounter. It's a spiritual perspective that will shape your faith for the coming move of God. I think you're going to love this book. I think you're going to love, you know, already love Sean. You know how hard he works to hear God. He says one of the greatest spiritual battles right now is over perspective, the way we see possibilities, limitations, and what God is doing. So you're going to hear a lot about that word perspective, but you're also going to hear a lot about encounters. We're going to hear about a personal encounter that Sean had and another friend of his had there in LA. So I think there's a lot to look forward to in this podcast. Get comfortable, put up your feet, put in your earplugs. If you're driving, hold on tight, because you're going to hear God in this podcast. I promise you that. Here's Sean Boltz on his book, Encounter. So Sean, welcome back to the Green Lines Podcast.
I am so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me back. I know it's been a little while coming because we had to reschedule a couple times. But thank you for having me on, and thanks for talking about the things that you talk about, because you're such a unique voice. I love being on your show. You ask questions that nobody else asks, so I'm excited to see where this will go, because we haven't even done a pre. I just want to talk about the book, but you're going to bring things out that nobody else does.
Well, because the Holy Spirit knows where your book is strong, and knows what people need to hear about, where you took this, where you got it. So let's just start, first of all, with a little bit of update on your ministry. I know that you're ministering a lot from your own studio now. You're traveling as much. You're getting more. Everyone's going to love what they hear next, that you've got more family time, that your presence with your family is stronger, and you're still hearing God. You had the time to write a magnificent book. Tell me how the Lord has moved you to settle in and find ways of getting your ministry effective.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, like, right before coronavirus is when we all, maybe a year before, we started the podcast network, right? And I didn't even know what the podcast was, but I wanted everyday people to feel like they didn't just see people who prophesied or prophets or whatever, but they could hear from God and they could see it make a difference in their everyday life. And so I started that podcast, and it was just exploring how God spoke to everyday people and how it impacted their world. And that conversation was one that needed to be had. People were wondering, what does it look like to be a mom or a businessman or a politician? At the same time, we started an online academy, which was just my e-courses at the time. Now we have monthly classes with different people to grow people into, like, what does it look like to have a holistic view of, or a biblical worldview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they apply and actually change your world and your opportunity. So we started that right before coronavirus. We didn't realize that most of what we'd be doing is in the media. I start to host for TBN for a couple different shows that I helped produce as well for the TBN network. And it was really exciting. And then TBN moved a lot of what they were doing to popular culture and current events and said, let's talk about what's going on in the world around us. So I started to getting hosted once a month to share my prophetic perspective. And it really just changed because I realized, you know, the majority of what I do is I help people navigate what God's already doing or telling them. So I'll meet with a business leader or a politician or a pastor, and I'm helping them to understand how they've heard from God or how to discern what God's saying for their life. I'm not giving words as much as I'm helping them. Of course I give words, and I've given words for 30 years. And I have people who could talk to you about when I was 19 about words I gave them about buildings they have or about ministries they have or a position they took. And that's all good. But what I'm really proud of is the ability to spend time, quality time with influencers and leaders, and help them to take on their mission in life with more, connectedness to it. And that's what birthed this book, because I help people with their own perspective all the time. And a lot of it came from my own encounters I've had with God that formed my spiritual perspective for what I'm living out and what I'm hoping God will do in our generation by bringing a worldwide move of God very soon. I believe we're on the precipice, if you want to use that word, of it.
Come on, preach that.
And so,
Ryan,
I believe we're on the verge of something, and these encounters help me. And so Charisma, I was writing another book about how to engage with culture and entertainment for Christians. And the team came to me and said, we feel like there's a different book in you right now. We actually had a witness of the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to write something about your encounters. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just studied for 8 months and I've been writing this book for 8 months. The encounter book hasn't even been on my page. Like, what encounter? And they said, the encounters you've had that have formed you to believe what you believe, because you're so hope-filled, but you're a realist. You're a realist in your hope-centeredness. And so I ended up going to God and saying, okay, show me if there's a book out of these encounters, because these are so private. They're things you tell only your best friends. You don't tell the mass population. And a lot of people scrutinize you when you do. And they look at these through a lens that maybe someone who wrote it didn't mean for them to look at it that way. So I was really cautious. I was like, I'm not going to throw my pearls out there. I'm not going to do this. But after praying for a couple hours, I saw the structure of the book. And I really feel like God said, give away your encounter with me and I'll give you more.
I love it. Before we go on to your book, I want to talk about some of these without you naming a name that you can't, maybe the industry that you worked in and something you saw. And as you had an encounter with man and brought God to them for the kingdom, maybe there in Hollywood, maybe in businesses or the environment that you work in, what is a memory that you have, a story that you can tell about something that was particularly surprising that you shared, and maybe how it developed and what you saw God do that you saw coming?
I mean, I think, you know, there's so many stories, but I'm just going to break it down to like one. There's a young man who I met with maybe a year ago during coronavirus, and he's on TikTok. And I didn't really understand what TikTok was at the time. I thought it was like a dancing show. You know, I didn't know it was going to be like our dancing social media app. I didn't know it was going to be what it is today. But he had over 1 million followers at the time. Now he has several million followers. And he just does comedy sketches on there. And I met with him, and he had reached out to me through a friend of his. And I met with him and I was like, tell me about your life. And it really came down to where he lived out of his parents' salvation, but he didn't really have a personal relationship to Jesus, but was curious, and enough was breaking down in life and enough wasn't happening. And he felt like his purpose in life wasn't really connecting, that he was willing to reach out to somebody. And he liked me because he wanted to meet with somebody who heard from God, because on TikTok, there's a lot of psychics and mediums and other things. So he's like, I want to meet with somebody who believes God can talk, because I feel like God has a message for me. So I met with him and I didn't really have a message for him at first, but then I said, you know, I feel like you're like Forrest Gumping your way through life, which he had seen that movie when he was really young. He'd seen that movie. I said, like, a lot of good things happen to you, but God wants to really give you a real key to the whole experience of why you're on TikTok and who you are. And the foundation, Ephesians 2:10 says he created you before time was began for good works and destiny. And I said, and I feel like you asked God a question when you were 18 years old on your 18th birthday, and God wants to answer it today. And he began to cry because he asked God a question and felt like God was silent. And so therefore he left his Christianity behind at that that day. So now he's 20, I think he was 24, because he's 26 now. So however old he was when we had this time, you know, he's crying and he's just, I mean, God is so real. Like, he knew that question and said, well, you're going to ask God again the question. I'm going to help you to navigate it. So we asked God, Lord, why was I created? And why was, you know, these kinds of things. And he began to list out what the destiny and the calling was on his life. And by the time we were done, he understood his life. He understood the influence he had. He understood how to impact. Since then, he's got two agents. He has a management company. He's doing advertisements. He went from making no money but having, you know, 1 million+ followers to having 4 million followers and tons of money and a disposable income, being a single guy, and he's living his life for God. And that's what's cool, is to watch somebody who already had influence but didn't know what it was for, and to come into God's original purpose and design for it. And I've learned so much from him on TikTok.
That's great. Now, Steve, those are the kind of stories that I'd love to have you back on and we just talk about them, because people, this is a faith builder. You know, it doesn't ring doubt in my ears at all. I just give witness to it. I get goosebumps down my back and or down or up. I'm not sure which direction they're going, but I can feel the witness of the Holy Spirit, and it's so real. But Sean, God gave you this book and really interrupted a flow that you had. It was probably itself a book near about finished, And here comes the book Encounter. And I want to read subheads and a little word off the back, because I want to question you on something, not question, but ask a question. The name of the book is Encounter, a spiritual perspective that will shape your faith for the coming move of God. So this is an anticipatory book for the coming move of God, and here's how to get ready. And then from the back cover, this one rocked me. I read it over and over again for the last week or two, several days. And again, I'm so old that when I reread something, it's like for the first time. So it's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Here it is. Here's the expression, now, the writing from your hand. One of the greatest spiritual battles right now. So that tuned me in. I was ready. What is the greatest spiritual battle? Everyone would give a different answer to that. Here's yours. It's over perspective, the way we see possibilities, limitations, and what God is doing. Now, that is worthy to be published. That's a book that is heady, but at once simple and clear and direct, and has great implication through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you would you first define this word, this adjective, or however we use it as an adjective or a noun, perspective. Define that for us, and let's get started in that right cell.
That's such a great question, because perspective is basically our view of what God can do in our life, our view of ourselves, our view of the world around us, our view of how much power people have, how much power the enemy has, how much power God has. Perspective in this context is, it's our biblical and spiritual worldview of how much can we see God moving in our lifetime, yeah, or how little can we see him moving? And there's been a war over that because of the current media. Like, you, every day, today it's monkeypox. You know, every day there's something that we're living through, like world events that might happen, whether they're manufactured events or true events, we don't know a lot of times, because the media is so crazy that the trust for media, I just read a statistic yesterday, is at 27% in America. So it's never even been close to this low. I think it was at 49% at one point during Carter.
I want to meet that 27% and see if we can help.
Who believes? Yeah, who believes what's going on? And so there's a, what we can see, what the enemy's doing. We can see what man's doing wrong. We can see what political groups or groups that we're not involved with are doing wrong. But it's really hard to see what God's doing sometimes around us. And so I believe that the war right now, the first part of the battle that we have to fight, is looking for that reconnection to God and his perceptions, his mind, and his heart, to say, you are still on the throne. Isaiah 9 says that the government on your shoulders has only been increasing since you resurrected. So what, or since you were born, really. So what does that look like now that your government's increasing? Because a lot of the things that God does are undercurrent until they're not. They're under the surface until they're not. And it's, so it's a little harder to see, because we have to use our discernment and our trained spiritual eyes to see it. And I hear things from the best Christians all the time that's so fear-based. I believe in responsible being prepared for disasters and for terrorism and that kind of stuff. I live in LA. We have to be prepared with food, supplies, water, but I don't believe in the conspiracy of being prepared. I don't believe that the enemy's going to win more than God's going to win. I don't believe that everything's going to be destroyed and only a little bit's left for God. I don't believe in that. And the Jewish way of looking at the world, and I go into this in the book at some point, is not that we're turning and burning, that we're going to turn away from the world because it's all going to go away. The Jewish way, and the way that they're still anticipating today that Jesus is going to return and Messiah is going to come in their mind, is that he's going to come and restore all things, and that we're going to be part of that restoration process. And Jesus really taught about that over and over, that God never intended anything to be destroyed, but to be redeemed. So therefore, the new heavens and new earth, according to a lot of the rabbinical Christians, they believe that it's actually a restoration of what's been destroyed. That since Jesus resurrected, there's been a pulsation of life from his nature under restoration in nature, in animals, and the animal kingdom, and our ecosystem, and our agriculture, that it was dying since the garden, but now we have potential to bring it back to some level before Jesus returns that is worthy for him. And so this book really helps people to understand we have a lot of promise and a lot of hope. I mean, we only have 60 years of usable soil right now, but God. With God, we could heal the land. We're Christians. We believe in the land being healed. We start out as gardeners. We can do it again. So the book is really not just idealistically hope-filled, but I'm helping people to look at, you know, I even start out in the first chapter. I want to give you time to ask questions again, but in the first chapter, I start out with Solomon, because Solomon was a messianic prototype. that the Jews were believing the Messiah would be revealed as, because he understood how to build the city, the infrastructure, the transportation systems, education, the judicial system, and the temple. The temple was first, but all that other stuff was built as well. So that all these disciples that Jesus had, they were pledging themselves to be his generals and his leaders and to help build with him. And he kept saying, it's about the heart. We have to get our inner world put right before we see God in our outer world. And that was so confusing because they were looking for the messianic age to be the age of transformation externally before it was internal, but it's internally first. And it's lasted now thousands of years as the fastest growing religion still. But there is a transformative element that even Jesus pointed at for the end times that we need to anticipate. The closer we get, the more transformation will happen. That God will always, when the enemy has us in check, God will always bring a checkmate to the enemy over world situations, over humanity, over you know, children at risk, these kinds of things, that God has a plan.
Yes, God has a plan. And I think that the power behind this book comes from your own personal experience. That a man can't write a book on encounter who hasn't had one. You know, you can't talk about or teach or impart what you haven't lived. There's a lot of other ways of saying that in pulpit talk. But the language I'm trying to get to for my audience is, you've been there and done it, and you can talk about a personal encounter, which I think you ought to give us that now. Give us a little bit of a feel for your encounter to help us understand what you're writing about.
Well, I mean, as someone who's probably overread the Bible intellectually many times, I've read the Bible so many times. And so sometimes it was more of a heart connect, sometimes it was a spiritual connect, but so many times it was out of responsibility. So many things are overly familiar to me, to where I've read other translations just to get new levels of familiarity, but I've also depended on the Holy Spirit to lead me through these encounters. And so the creation story, and even before, like thinking about God as a triune being, dreaming of humanity, I would have never thought of or dreamed of. But in an encounter that I had in back in 2000, I think one or two, I saw, you know, the Genesis 1 says above the firmament, God hovered. I saw the hovering of the triune God. And this is probably parabolic. When I say it's symbolic and parabolic, meaning it may not be exactly how it really happened, but God was relating in a way that my humanity, now I believe many other people can relate to this because I've had a lot of feedback on this particular encounter where it helped people. But I saw the Father there, and the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were around kind of a table, and out of the Father's heart was millions, if not billions, of cords that were just beautiful, like life pulsating cords. And at the end of these cords was a human vessel that they were imagining and dreaming of together. It was coming from the substance of who he was. And Jesus would grab him and he would start to talk about each one. This one's this, this one is going to be this. And he would just carefully formulate. And this felt like, I mean, one person felt like, you know, hundreds of years. It felt like they've spent so much time because they're so timeless. They have master creativity that went into each person. And they would talk about, I mean, Jesus was so excited about this one he was looking at. And then the Holy Spirit laughed and said, you're excited about each one of them with that same excitement, just like we are. Like if somebody else was watching this, almost like implying I was watching this, they would think that that was the best one, but they're all that precious. They're all that amazing. And when I saw this, two things happened. One is that me as a person who's been indoctrinated with Christianity for so long that it's almost unemotional at times, I saw how much he really loved. Whether a person was aborted and they didn't get their fullness because they were aborted early, or whether it's somebody who's alive on the earth who hasn't had the redemptive story yet, or whether it's somebody who's in their fullness who is walking out that dream, that carefully placed dream, before we were in our mother's womb, I knew you. And he really did. Like this, we came from the creativity of not just a creative person, but a father, an intimate being, a caregiver who thought of everything we would need in our being to glorify him, but also everything, resource, provision, relationship we would need to bring that about, to bring that glorification about. And it was so awesome that it reminded me of when my wife was pregnant. I write this in the book. She was pregnant and I would speak to my baby, my first baby in the room, and say, I don't know if I'll be able to afford your full college, but I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to try and provide everything you need. She's a girl. So I was like, if you want dancing or if you want soccer, I don't care. I'm going to take you to those games. I'm going to take you to those places. And I spoke these endearment statements over her of commitments of like, I'm going to do everything I can to spend a portion of my energy to make you the best version of you. And then I was thinking about this vision encounter and going, it was so much beyond, like, as I reflected back on it, so much beyond what God as a father is from me being a simple man. Even Jesus in his first message, he said, God is you being not even a good father or nothing. You would do this for your child, but think about God as a father in heaven. And it really, this encounter helped me to realize how good he is. The second thing it did is it made me realize how much he had pre-planned, how much resource and how much availability of his own nature he had put inside of us, that when it comes into agreement, even if we only had 3 years left on the earth, that we would do more in that 3 years than we had ever done in our entire human process, because the redemption that was available to call us back for into God's original design and plan was so strong. And I've used these terms, original design, because the Bible refers to him a couple of times, for so long now because of these encounters, that there's an original design and plan of God, that Jesus, for him to get his reward, that the Father has given a resource to on the earth.
Well, there's no question, and you identify it so well in your book, and the way that you develop the story throughout your book. It's just really amazing how God did this, and it really wasn't your a choice. You know, it came along, yeah. And then it was so inspired. And there's a part of the book that I really want you to get to, and that's the key element about understanding God. And who doesn't want to do that, Sean? We all want to know God. Paul said that I might know him and understand him. He continued to say, I want to know him. And you say that it's more about learning his mind, learning to understand the mind. I'm going to say the mind of Christ, because we read about that. And I understand that better. Yeah. But I pray for it every day, sir. You know, as a writer, as a podcaster, as someone who tries to teach and impart the word, I want to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to have my own, for lack of a better word, I don't want to give my perspective. I want to give God's perspective. Yeah. So talk to me about that. How do we...
Well, on the cover of the book, we have this brain/tree, because there's a big theme of oak trees, the oaks of righteousness in the book, how this generation that's being emerging right now is going to be pillars of Christianity. And we see a deconstructing of faith happening right now. That's scary. And we see a watering down of faith because of special interest groups and things that are happening in the church. But what we don't see is that happened before the last great move of God as well. The Jesus people movement was the last worldwide great move of God. And there's about a 13-year period of iniquity, lawlessness, and darkness that hit the world, and specifically America as a nation, right before that move of God happened. That's a long period of time where people were, you know, if you went to a charismatic church in those days or a Pentecostal church, they probably would have said that the end times were among us because it was so dark. But then arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, here's the thing with the rise and shine, for your light has come. Humanity is looking for what God originally intended. Humanity is looking for what God looks like in society, in problems, in careers, and industry. Humanity is not looking for principles alone. Humanity is not looking for good messages that make you feel good. Humanity is looking for God, who's a real being, to make a difference in their world. And so there's a prayer that's going on from humanity right now that's like, please, God, please help. And the church, unfortunately, has not been meeting those needs or have been manifesting a God who's powerful to the world around us. And what I believe is that, you know, you think of Solomon, again, I start the book with Solomon. Solomon began to dream and see, you know, in this dream that the Lord would ask him, you can have anything that you want. What would you want? And he uses this very specific word that was only used here in this context in the whole Bible. And he was asking for, can I share as if you were living in my head and we had the same thoughts? Can I share your perceptions over how you would build, how you would govern, how you would rule the people, how you would do this temple? Because if I'm just going to have wisdom given to me, or if I'm just going to do it as a good king, I'm not enough. But if I can do it sharing your perceptions as if we had one mind. And that word for one mind was used many times, but the way he said it to God was never used quite this way. And it was a redemptive messianic picture. Again, Jesus says it in 1 Corinthians 2 at the last verse. Jesus says it through Paul. He says, you have the mind or the perceptions of Christ. So we've been told as Christians, we have the mind of Christ, but to manifest that mind, we have to have a connected, attached relationship to God through the word and the spirit. We have to know his thoughts. We have to begin to ask him big questions about our life, our family's lives, the world around us. We have to believe that he has manifested solutions to real world problems. And that's the thing about the mind of God, is that the mind of God, you can't help but answer, like Daniel and Babylon answered national problems through prophetic words of understanding what was happening in the mind of God for a nation that was a Babylonian, terrible nation. And yet God inspired Nebuchadnezzar so much through Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar evangelized every household in his nation with the gospel. that's what we don't think about, is that Daniel didn't evangelize the nation. Daniel awakened Nebuchadnezzar to the Hebrew God. And Nebuchadnezzar, it said that he caused every household to worship the Hebrew God. This is huge. And when you have the mind of God, you do things that have so much amplified fruit and so much, I would say, multiplied effect. And that's the Christianity the world's looking for, is what does you plus God equal? Because right now it doesn't look like much. Your divorce rates are the same. Drug addictions are the same. Suicide rates are the same. Fear, anxiety is the same. You're on the same amount of meds as we are. So what does God inside of you look like as a Christian? And God's about to show the world his goodness through normal people like you and I, by manifesting his truth through us understanding what he cares about. And that's a big deal, is that to understand how the Lord cares and then manifest solutions out of that compassion.
So, Sean, we've learned that because of their perspective, there are people that will hear you speak of this encounter and say, I'm too skeptical to think that I can have an encounter with the Lord. I just don't think that that's for me or that I can. And maybe they have a little faith. Maybe they've got a mustard seed. Okay. And they've tried Jesus. Because I hear it. I tried church and it disappointed me like everything else. But again, we know how to counsel that individual. But let's just go to this person that is somewhat still open to the Lord. Their heart isn't hard yet. And so you can get to them right now in this conversation. So what would you say to them about knowing that the encounter process is real, it's for them, and it can happen even through your skepticism?
Well, I think those are my favorite people, because I think that people who are measuring how much they believe about what God can do through their own life are people who are being realistic. And we're looking for a result that's not just the life we could live based on the principles of believing in God, but we're looking for a life that he would make for us. We're surrendering our agenda, our will as a Christian, and saying, Jesus, that you would live through me. And if we're going to ask God to live through us, we should expect a God result in our life, not a human result, not just an upgraded result because we learn how to use our skills and our talents and our abilities, but because we actually allow the Holy Spirit to take possession of our will and we go a different direction than we would have gone. Maybe it's in our career. Maybe in your career, you start to see that you have encountered God because you're at a place you would have never chosen for yourself. Years down the road, you're like going, wow, back then I would have never chose that job and then that opportunity. But I love where God brought me because I surrendered and said yes to him. But I didn't know I was making an active prophetic yes as I went. I just said yes to God. And I think a lot of people need to reverse engineer the good fruit in their life and the good moments in their life where they really see they like their marriage or they like their children or they like their job or they like their opportunity. They've made an impact with compassion ministries or compassion efforts. And they look at that and they go, wow, I have encountered God to some degree. How do I then camp there and experience that again and maybe have a lifestyle of connectedness that way to God? And that's the part where we have to learn how we experience God. Individually, it's different for everybody. That's why I love doing the podcast I do, because we hear a wide variety of how people hear from God and connect to God. And we need those connections because we need to not say, I don't hear from God. I don't encounter God. We need to say, I have because I'm saved. That's an encounter. And so what else have I had since then? I'm not going to talk about what I haven't had. I'm going to focus on what I do have. Good. And then as I focus on what I do have, I'm going to bring that to God to multiply it, like the little fish and the loaves. Well, I understand this much. Show me fullness. And I'm telling you, you'll never live out of someone else's prophetic word for you. It has to be your own word you have from God. Maybe that encourages you, but it doesn't inspire you every day. Like you and God inspire you every day, not somebody else's message, teaching, whatever. That only lasts for so long. Many of us have been in a church for 2 years that was our main feeding trough. And then all of a sudden it wasn't anymore. And we were discouraged because we had to figure it out ourselves. That pastor no longer fed us. We've experienced that. Was the same way with encounter or supernatural or hearing God's voice. You need to own that and have a relationship with God and know that he wants it more than you do. As a matter of fact, Jesus prayed for it in John 17, that Father, I desire them to be with me where I am, to see you in your glory. And that was a current prayer for the disciples that were still alive. That wasn't like just one day, I desire them after they die to be with me. He was saying, I want them to experience what we've experienced now of connectedness, of oneness, of sharing mind and heart. And he prayed that. So if you're praying and going, do you even want this, God? Read John 17. He wants it more than you do.
Such good word. My goodness, that brought people into the podcast. Whatever brought them in, they needed to hear that. That was such a good word. I love it. So you personally, we've asked you a lot of questions about how you've taken things. What did the book do for you, your ministry, your family? I know you, and I know writers, books affect us. They do roll after the book is written. There's time with it. It seems to grow in us after it's gone. It's produced and gone. And now it's starting to manifest in your life. So what's it done for you, sir?
I mean, it's kind of like a high-tech journal for me. So it's like I got to relive and revisit experiences, and God tied them together. I never put all this together before. So God put it all together in a way that I could see it differently and be formed from it. And what was interesting, Steve, you know this as an author too, like your friends and family don't always read or connect to everything you engage, right? Your friends and family, they'll connect to something, but not like, especially I've released like 6 books in the last 7 years, you know? And so a lot of them are teaching, and they take energy to read because you're getting a perspective and you're learning. This book, a lot of my friends and core friends and family read without me talking to them about it and said, that book changed my life. So when your close friends and your family are like, and one of them said, Sean, that gave me so much energy. I don't like reading because it takes so much energy from me. That book gave me energy. It gave me life. It made me feel energized. And I was like, there's something really unique about this. The God, even if God only used it with my friends and family, I'm so glad that I wrote it, because they haven't been corely ministered to me this way for years. And the fact that my parents and my siblings and like different people are saying that it changed my life. Wow. Like, I'm so humbled that my encounter somehow translated to them to become their encounter.
I love it. It's so powerful. So in that encounter, and you see your family being affected, does it make you feel like you should be writing more? Does it call you up higher to press in and hear how God's going to continue this story? Or is it a one and done, what's been said has been said? Do you feel like that's the end of this topic for your time?
No, I don't think it's the end of the topic, because I think the next great move of God that I refer to, that this book is really referring us to, or like pointing at, I think it's going to be marked by people who've had encounters, and they feel they need to feel safe. And, you know, we talk to businessmen, especially on our Exploring the Marketplace podcast every week. We talk to people from all kinds of life on Exploring the Prophetic every week. And they're telling their story of how they got to where they, like how God added value to their life, and how when he spoke or gave them a dream or helped them to navigate, how it changed their opportunity and it changed their world. And so they're basically sharing, I had a God encounter and this is what it looked like. And so I'm curating those conversations in a lot of different ways. And we're looking for helping people to really realize the average person, me hearing from God personally, can change everything. And so I'm on this mission, not of training the church how to have fivefold ministry prophecy, but how to help the average person to go on a journey where they really trust their ability to read the Bible with accuracy, but also to pray and hear God's voice with connection. And we need these encounters, because our encounters, when you think about, if there was no Billy Graham, what would have happened? You know, if there was no whoever, Benny Hinn, if there was no Stephen Strang, if there was no Steve Green, what would have happened to the world? Christine Kane, whoever, some of the Christian ministers, we can see that. But what if there was no Pat Boone in the entertainment industry, you know, who is a forerunner, and now maybe the Kirk Camerons or Chris Pratts who are like walking out their entertainment careers because there was a forerunner? What if there, and there's people who are going to be encountered by God, and they will become something to the world around them that will be a before and after person for their industry, their ministry, their nation, their city. We need these encounters to happen, because, you know, Billy Graham got saved and he began a healing ministry first before he had an evangelism ministry. And God said that you can reach a lot more evangelistic people, or reach a lot more people if you go after evangelism, but you're gonna have to lay down some of the healing stuff because I want you to be broader. And you know, he ended up becoming this worldwide evangelist. He's a before and after person in history. And God's about to do this in a multiplied form by raising up people in environmentalism and farming and in business and politics and all these different areas that are before and after people. Like a Ronald Reagan was a before and after Christian in politics that we still look back to and go, I wish, you know, my parents are saying, I wish we were in a time like Ronald Reagan again in our nation. And we don't want to go backwards, but we want those people to emerge right now that have had an encounter with God, and it set them apart for whatever they're called to for such a time as this. And that's what God's raising up. So we need an encounter.
So what's the one thing that you hope this book does? As you put all this together, Sean, we try to wrap up a really great discussion that I don't want to end, because it'll be too long before I get to talk to you again. by the way, when did this book come out? What was your release date?
You know, it came out in January. It was kind of like a soft release. Okay. And so we're releasing it in a more hardcore way this summer, just letting people know about it.
Good. Is it coming out strong? You're doing well with it?
Yeah, it's decent as it's come out. I think, you know, we brought it out we had shaped our world to bring out the other book on entertainment and culture. So we brought out an encounter book. And I think with especially church leaders and Christian pastors, they've been really impacted by the book. That's what I'm getting the most feedback from as Christian ministry leaders, which is really interesting. And so, and then on top of that, I'm getting a lot of people who are getting rekindled, who had encounters, but have not been in that season of encounter, that have been saying, I have to have an encounter with God again. So it's bringing that kind of refreshed hunger. And then there's people who are saying, one of the biggest compliments I've had over and over is people are saying, I haven't felt like this since I read The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which is one of my favorite books. And it's not like, I mean, Bricks is, I mean, it's a whole nother level, but the fact that there's a comparison that that book helped define faith and encounter for a generation, I feel like there's potential in this book to have a long life and just to help a lot of people to trust that God's about to encounter our earth, and he's going to encounter us with such a beautiful presence of who he is. It's going to bring a resolution to a lot of major issues that we're disconcerted by right now.
And so do you believe it'll bring peace to these that are wringing their hands and got lonely grub and can't
help it? Encounter with God is the antidote for stress right now. And yes, I think it'll bring peace.
Yes, I'll take it. I think all of us will. Even those who live in peace and have it, I want more of it. You know, and because you can't turn the TV on without hearing about monkeypox and whatever the media wants to run down our ears and into our hearts now. And I just don't want to receive it. I don't want any more of this. I'm just tired of it. And I think that will drive people back to the pews. That's what I'm praying, is that this will get people back in church.
Yeah.
If they're seeking God, and I'm not wanting to get them in a building and get them back in a box. I just want them to worship the Lord and to not forsake the assembly, you know, to get back and be with people and love on people and do a little bit of love leadership and see what can happen in their lives. And Sean, we just need people like you to keep talking and keep writing and keep the prophetic alive and strong with no fear at all.
That's what we're trying to do. Thank you so much, Steve. I love that perspective, and I think it's true. I want people to know the authentic Jesus, and we need to give, we owe the world an encounter with God.
Well, brother, I'm just going to close and saying you're authentic. I believe in you. I believe in your ministry. I believe in how you approach the Lord, and I learn from you in every time we have a show and whenever I listen to you online, and I'm blessed to find you. I grow, and it's always good. And people need to reach out to you and find you. What's the best way to do that now?
Our bullsministries.com. We have all of our information there. We also have a Bulls app, and they can get all of our current episodes of anything we're doing on YouTube or on podcasts.
Let's not go over it too fast. Come on, let's go slow for the old folks. Bulls
is B-O-L-Z as in zebra, ministries.com. And our online academy of how to grow in the things of the Spirit is there. And it's, you can subscribe to it monthly or just go through a class or an event. We also have our Bulls app, and it's free at any of the app stores, and it has all the current podcasts and media that I do, we upload to it. So you don't have to go searching for it. You can just get the Bulls app and it'll send you a notification.
I need to do that.
There's a new episode on YouTube. There's a new episode on podcast, and it helps people to know when we're going live as well.
Good. Where can we get the book, Sean?
Anywhere books are sold, but you can get it at bullsministries.com today. And we have a special, we've just decreased the price by 25% to get it in the hands of more people. So I think it's going to be really exciting for people to get it for $19.99.
So bullsministries.com, you can find the book at 25% off. That's a good deal. Anything else? I don't want to let you go. I want to hold on to you, brother.
Well, there is the one thing which I love is I started a new podcast called Prophetic Perspectives on Fridays. It's at 10 a.m. every Friday. And we talk about two or three current world events or society events. And I'm in the entertainment industry as well. So I actually sometimes will bring in entertainment events that are happening, like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. We've talked about that. And we've talked about, you know, I'm talking this week about Kanye West just won every Billboard award for gospel, and yet his life is so crazy. So we're going to be talking and processing that together.
Yeah.
But how do we have a hope-filled, Jesus-filled process to discern both negative and positive things? So we're doing that every Friday live, but you can just subscribe to it if you don't want to be part of the live on any podcast service.
It might shake up your perspective.
It definitely will. It's a challenge for people.
Sean, thanks for spending time with us this afternoon. Enjoy the weather this weekend. It looks good out there on the West Coast. And we love you. We respect you. We admire you. And please keep writing. We need your voice, brother. Keep coming.
Thank you so much, Sue. I will. And I love you, too. I think this is always an awesome opportunity. So thanks for having me.
You're welcome, sir. We'll do it again. And I'd like to have you back anytime, whether a book is out or not. You got something going on, I want to hear about it.
Let's do it.
All right, brother.
Let's do it. I'll tell you.
Okay. You've been listening to the Green Lines podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we want to remind everyone that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'm just going to ask you a question you heard Sean ask. What can you bring to God to multiply? What a way to live a life of abundance. Bring it to God and allow Him to multiply it. God bless you all.